we go. There, good morning. We better start with prayer. It's already a little rattled. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we thank you that our hearts are prepared and we have ears to hear and hearts to receive the truth from your word. Lord, encourage us this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is our last part of Titus. And I think it's interesting because Ted's here this morning. And we're doing Titus, and it all actually stemmed from Ted, from our home group. Because we were doing our home group and doing questions, and this was early on in the fall. And Ted questioned, well, how do we live like this? How can we do this? How can we live like this? Like, what do we do? He still questions that, by the way, because he did it last week too. But when he questioned that stirred up in me, and I decided to go to the Word and figure out how do we do this. And the Lord gave me Titus, and actually it was where we're going to start today, in Titus chapter 2. And I'm reading it out of the Passion Translation because that's where I originally read it after Ted had the question. And so this is the verse that God gave me for Ted's question. God's marvelous grace has manifested in person, bringing salvation for everyone. This great grace teaches us how to live each day as we turn our backs on ungodliness and indulgent lifestyles. And it equips us to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. Imagine that God would even put the words to our questions in there before we even think to ask them. So I'm going to change back to the NIV. Well, I think that's what this is. Just because that was the translation it gave me, but I want us to be in this translation. You read any translation you want. So again, we're going to Titus chapter 2, and we're starting at verse 11 to 15. That's where we left off last week. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, whom gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These, then, are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority, and do not let anyone despise you. So how do we live? How do we live in those self-controls? Like, what did we see in these scriptures? We see it's God's grace. God's grace and his faithfulness. And that we need to say no. We need to say no to the things of this world that are sin, that don't bring us to live good lives. To live self-controlled, upright, and godly in this present age. What does that look like for you in your life? And how do we do that? How do we stand strong? You know, I have a cousin that's, he's celebrating. He turned 65 this year, but that's not the birthday he's celebrating. He's celebrating his 30 years of sobriety. Because that meant more to him than anything else that he's done in his life. Because he's dealt with being an addict for all of those years, and it's like 30 years of victory. And so that made me think it's like, yeah, like it is an act of practice. It is part of doing AA. It's part of saying no. It was part of changing. He not only changed not drinking, he changed not going to those establishments. He changed his friends. He actually moved from one community to another so that he could start a new beginning. It took action on his part to change the way that he would live and what he would do and what he would choose. Now, That being said, he's still kind of a strange character. But you know what? He's got a victory. He's got a victory in his life, and he's proud of that. And I think so many of us, when you see who we walked with and what you did before Christ, how many of those people have dropped away from your life? Some of those places you went have dropped away from your life. And it wasn't because you didn't like those people or you didn't care, but it was because we change who we are. We change what we believe and how we function. And we truly see that people who don't turn away and turn toward Jesus and that life of ungodliness, letting go of worldly passions, we see that they'll struggle in their walk. There's a little bit of time. And it said in verse 13, we're to do this while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And then this is it, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. We have to remember where we are as Christians, that Jesus did everything for us to purify us, to make us his very own. And then there is a responsibility that Paul gives to Titus again at the 15th verse. Now we're supposed to encourage and rebuke and teach the fellow believers, the ones in church. Remember when we started in Titus, Paul sent him into there to finish the work, to help to bring elders, to help bring good teaching, because the Christian converts were being they were being deceived by the things of the world, the things of their gods, and through the Jews and the laws, the different things that were happening. They weren't walking, they were easily swayed by false teaching. And Paul sent Titus to send them. No, put them on guard so that they have a righteousness. And let's go to chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. Did you pass those papers? I had papers for you. It says, remind the people to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable, considerate, and always be gentle toward everyone. Let's just stop right there before we carry on. This is a huge one for us today, isn't it? Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient and ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable, considerate, and always be gentle toward everyone. So I'm thinking that means I can't say that I don't like Trudeau or tell you what I think of him or Trump or the things in our things, because then I would be slandering and not being obedient to the word of God. But God told us to pray for our rulers, right? Pray for the people in headship. But, you know, Scott mentioned it last week on something we were talking about the seven pillars. We used to teach that, used to be a teaching all the time, the seven pillars, and I couldn't tell you them all, but it was politics and entertainment and just teaching in school, like all the things in the world, and he probably remembers the seven things, but it was about Christians being a part of the world. Christians that would go into politics, Christians that would go into science and medicine, into the entertainment world, to change how the world sees those things. And sometimes we set ourselves apart, too apart, that we're not a part of the world and what's going on. But we have a righteousness. We have a truth that the rest of the world doesn't know and needs to see. And sometimes it tells us to do it peaceably, being considerate, gentle to everyone. Well, sometimes I don't see some of the things that are happening in the name of Jesus to be peaceable and honorable. And so there's a wisdom for all of us into what we become involved in and what we're doing and how we do that. I want to flip to Colossians 3, 1 to 9. Yeah. If you study Paul and you're tracking Paul, he basically, you know what, every church he goes to, he starts out the same way. You know, in Colossians, right off the bat, he's saying, and this is because he's with Timothy, it's like, as soon as we heard about the church in Colossae, we started praying. As soon as they heard about the ones in Ephesus, they started praying. As soon as they hear about a body of believers, they were right on it to be praying. And then, but it, even in and each one, it'll tell you a little bit different words, but similarly, how do we live? How do we live like this? And so in chapter 3 of Colossians, it says, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden in Christ, in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to this earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of such things as these: even anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and you've put on your new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of your Creator. Here, then that's where we'll end. We'll just end there. But there's a change in us. We're someone different. We aren't who we used to be. We're brand new. We're someone new. We've put off those things. Now, sometimes those things that we put off can easily snare us again. And so there's a wisdom that has to be there. You know, when I was... And sometimes we'll see things and people will say, well, I can still go to the bar and do that because I don't drink, but I can still go there. But is that an appearance of evil? And are you tempting yourself to fall into that place? You know, the only ones that I've ever seen as Christians who have successfully gone into the pubs and the streets or the Salvation Army. But you know what? They go in and they're dressed absolutely different. And they're coming in with a pamphlet and an agenda. And they're not sitting down at that table to play pool with you or to have a beer. They're coming in there to tell you that Jesus is Lord and Savior. And that if you need help, they have something that might help you. And there's a change in that thing. And so I always thought of that. I could, because I know that because my dad used to bring the pamphlets home. And so, and he'd bring them home because, and those women were so smart. They had recipes. And so that would be the thing. Oh, your wife might like this recipe. Well, yeah, she might like that recipe. And so there was the doorway. And so like they were, so I always have a soft spot for Salvation Army just because of that. Because they were people that stood apart and still walk in righteousness wherever you see them. And people know them to be a safe place. They know them to be strong, people of integrity, people that are upright. You know, sometimes that gets lost in the body of Christ. We're seeing a whole network, a television network, come tumbling down from hidden sin. And like we see pastors all over. In this last year, we've seen more mighty men and women of God be removed from their positions because of unrighteousness and sexual sins and perversions. Be sure your hidden sin will find you out. Repenting. Every time Jesus, when you're reading in your scripture, every time when he touched someone's life, whether he healed them, set them free, he always said, go and sin no more. Your sins are forgiven. Carry on. But he called for a change. And so we need to be conscious of the fact that our sins are forgiven. But we have an enemy who prowls like a roaring lion that will bring that temptation right back to you. So sometimes, like that, I didn't even know that, because I always thought that promise keepers, I thought, that's a good thing, because women had a glow and women had all these great conferences. Until Don said, oh, that's for men with struggling in pornography. And I'm like, what? Because I guess I didn't know men that struggled in that. But I thought, oh my gosh, like there's a reality to that. Like there's Christian men that still struggle in things and need to be saved and need to be healed. And like women too. I mean, that can go either way. Like, but I thought, wow. Because you just don't realize that we still struggle in things even though we're righteousness. And so much more, we need to encourage each other. We need to walk in the word. We need to walk in that truth. And how we live, how we interact. And self-control. Self-control, living upright. Now, how do we do that? What do we have? What was the first thing that we got? That Church of Acts got the Holy Spirit, came and resided. So we have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We have self-control. We have peace. We have goodness, kindness. Where is that in Ephesians somewhere? I can't think where they all are right now. I haven't got it written here. I should have written it, but it just came to my thought. But it's because we have everything we need to live. Everything we need to live a holy, blameless life, God provided to us. It's in our word. It's in our relationship with them. It's being devoted to each other and to him. He's so good to us. There's a little, I'm just finding that little blank here. The world by its lifestyle denies God. Here's the question. What about you? Do you renounce ungodliness and worldly passion? Or do you indulge in your flesh? What do your deeds say about what you believe? You don't have to answer that out loud, but those are thoughts I want us to take away to think about, and your home group leader might want to know the answer on. But what in my lifestyle is denying God? We all need to do that self-examination. What is it? And it can be as simple as all your time on your phone or meeting with people that don't encourage you in godly things, reading novels. Sometimes years ago, there used to be those Trading Spaces shows where they would flip the house and put all the new things on there. And Grace was still here in church. And we were talking that one day, and I said, you know, Grace, I can't watch those shows. And she's like, really? And I said, no, because every time I watch those shows, I'm just satisfied with my house. It's like, oh, that should be changed, and this should, you know. And it's like, so then I couldn't watch those shows. And like most of the things they did to those shows, I wouldn't have wanted done to my house anyway. But it was easy. It was just a simple little entertainment show, but it brought dissatisfaction. And I thought, how easy. Like that wasn't even what we would consider a sin. It was just a thought that was able to come into my heart. It's just, things are just simple. We try to make it like, you know, being apart from God is huge, like you have to be a real major sinner, but boy, you just don't have to be at all. Those little lies, those little foxes that get in and bring that destruction are so easy. Yes, who are you when no one's looking? Exactly. Like, what are you doing? Your mom. Yeah. Like, who are you? That's right. It's easy. It's easy to come to church and be sweet. But that's true. How do you do this, right? Well, maybe it's not easier for some than others to come to church and be sweet. But it's good. You know, and like, what do my deeds say about what I believe? What am I doing in life that makes you think that I'm a Christian or would believe that? You know, how are you? How are you with your neighbors? The one who puts the garbage all along your fence line. The one who doesn't weed and wants to have an ecosystem in their garden that's making you spray yours. Like, how do you deal with those things, right? You just keep blessing them. You just kill your weeds and keep speaking life to them, right? Somehow, so that they see that there's a difference, that we are people that are upright, upright. Even in desires of our flesh, indulging our flesh is pretty easy. Like if it's 30, we just said that, it's 30 below. It's pretty easy not to go to church. It's a little cold out there. We could just listen to it online. Oh, or there's another pastor we could listen to. We don't have to necessarily do that. We can eat whatever we want or indulge in however we want. Like, we're good, but is it? Is our health affected by what we do? Are we not the temple of God? Are we destroying the temple that he gave us? Those are just things for us to look at. I'm just trying to be conscious of time here. In verse 12, it says, as soon as I send Artemis, or I'd have no idea, Tychicus, to you, do your best to come to me in Nicolaopolis, because I've decided to winter there. That's Paul talking to Titus. Do everything you can to help Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their way, and see that they have everything that they need so they can keep going. Our people must be devout. They must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order to provide for the urgent need and not live unproductive lives. Everyone with me sends you greetings. Greet those with love who love us in the faith. Grace be with you. Our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good. What is profitable to you? How do I devote myself to something? How do I devote myself to a God that I don't know? I need to learn who he is by the word, by reading about who he is, what he says, what Jesus did. I can tell you right now, if you are not in the word of God, you will not grow. You will be stagnant, and it's because it does not come by osmosis. It comes by a discipline that we put into our own life. If you're not communicating with God and praying with him and seeking his wisdom, you're going to struggle. And we just really don't want that, because the way that we grow, the way that we interact with others, is because we've already been interacting with the Father. We've already been knowing. Jesus interacted with everybody. Everyone. Didn't mean that he approved of everything everybody did. But he was kind. He didn't heal everyone who walked by with a sickness. But he healed everyone who asked or wanted, or he went to, was healed or believed. Like, there's so many different things, but he was still good and righteous man, and people followed him. He didn't do anything to say, follow me. They just followed him because they saw his actions. Well, they're all in here. So when you're seeing the goodness of God and you're seeing his actions, it's easier to follow him. It's easier to walk with him. This song has been in my head all week, and I want to just turn to this scripture, because when you want to walk with God, you need to, I guess it's in this Bible, sorry. This is what happens when you bring two versions. There's things that we learn about our God. And this isn't on your sheet because this came to me after the fact. But there's a lifestyle, and our salvation is not based on our performance. It's the mercy and grace of God, and it's from our Heavenly Father to us. And my encouragement is that you walk in that grace this week, and taking the time to see him and to see, we don't need to go back and stagnate upon where we were, but remember that you came out of that darkness. Remember where God's taken you from. Remember what he saved you from. He saved you from death. He saved you from not relationship. There's so many things that we get. You know, there's a lot of people in this world that think they're good enough because they're not robbing banks and they're not unkind and they're not doing things. But not having Jesus is the problem for them. It's only through Jesus, it's only through the death, burial, resurrection, and our belief in that, that we have eternal life. And so as good as you want to be, you lose it. You have to recognize God's goodness. Psalm 36, it's verse 5. Your love, Lord, reaches into the heavens, and your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountain, and your justice is like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delight. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Continue your love to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart. May the foot of the proud not come against me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. See how the evildoers lie fallen, thrown down and not able to rise, because God is with us. Walking with God in his strength, in his power, everything we need for life and godliness, he's given to us. We just need to be diligent and take the time. And if you're not a word study, or if you've never gone into, and you think, well, I don't even know where to start to read my Bible. I told my grandson, go to Proverbs, look in Proverbs, and underline every time you read foolish or the foolish man, and underline every time you read wisdom and the wise man. And that'll start you off on a really good stretch of finding out what's wise and what's foolish. So it's a good way, but it's so easy. Your concordances have words that are easy to find, but start in a scripture. Start, John's always a good place to start. There's lots of good things to learn in there, but stretch yourself. Maybe you want to know more about what Paul teaches. Well, read his letters. Read the letter of Luke and read Acts, and then you've read what he's written. You can start with authors. There's so many ways to start your little devotion. And you know what? You don't have to read chapters and chapters. There can be that one verse that sticks out for you, and you're going to just mull that and repeat it all week, and that's going to be your anchor stone for that week. There's no rules and expectation. God just wants you to be in his presence. He wants to know that he loves you and cares for you and guides us, and that we grow in him, and to really know what he has for you. You know, sometimes we're wanting so many other things, or it's easy to be dissatisfied. Or even when we're struggling, we're not seeing people struggling getting a job or finances or healing. But you know what? Our focus doesn't need to be on the stuff. Our focus needs to stay on God, who he says, what his promises are, and what is that truth. And continually walk in that. And let the cares of the world be the cares of the world, not your cares. Like, just walk in that strength and in his truth. So that's what I want to leave you with and encourage you. We're a little bit sooner today than I thought we'd be. And look at, what are your deeds? What do you need to do? Who do you need to be? Who's God called you to be? You know, we all don't have to work in the cupboard. We all don't have to do women's ministry. We all don't have to go to... That's the great thing about the body of Christ. We're all so unique. And we can have friends from all of the churches. But encourage, I want to keep us encouraged, like Paul did. Keep us encouraged, be praying for the believers, because we're all walking through those same struggles. We're all trying to live our best life and do the best. And especially in this time when our world is a little bit shaky, we need so much more to be focused on the truth of who God says, and to be able to rise above that. You know, it's pretty hard to live when we're oppressed and in condemnation if you don't know that we have a greater future and a greater promise, and to encourage each other. It says love covers a multitude of sins. And we want to bless each other and do that. but we also want to bring wisdom. You know, we have to always remember when God, when Jesus always encouraged them, you're forgiven. Don't keep going back. We need to not have to repent and repent of the same things over and over. We need to be able to walk in truth and victory, because God brings us victory. So if there's a space that you're struggling in and you want prayer, there's lots of people here that would pray for you. Or even ask the Lord this week, Holy Spirit, show me, is there something that's hindering my walk with you? Is there something that could make my reality of walking with you different? And it doesn't mean that it's a sin thing, but it can just be a distraction. What's the enemy distracted me with that I'm losing from you? Show me. Give me those words of truth. Because we want to live victorious in these days and show the greatness of God. We are the light. Even says we're the salt of the earth, right? We're the flavor. And so just let us walk in that. So just thank you, Heavenly Father, for your goodness. Thank you for your word, Lord, and that it teaches us, Lord. It strengthens us. It rebukes us. It shows us the right from the wrong. Lord, I just thank you that we are your children. We are the part of the body of Christ that you've chosen to be on the earth at this time to do a great and mighty work. And I just thank you that we stand with you in that, and that we go forward in the direction you call us to be. Lord, that we would be a blessing in this community. Lord, this church would be known for having people that are upright and strong, and that we are here to be able to be a resource in this community and to other believers. So we thank you for that. Lord, but above all, we give you all the glory, because it's without you we can do nothing. You are everything that we need, every strength. We hide in your shelter of your wings, and we're strengthened by your word. We're strengthened by your love. And we have Holy Spirit in us that teaches us and guides us. And we are so thankful for your goodness. We are so thankful that you've redeemed us from the curse of the law, and you've brought us into a place of hope and of righteousness, and that we're able to walk with you. Lord, that your joy is our strength, and we walk forth from this place in victory today. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.